Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to
Heart. It is Heart to Heart. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng. I'm not alone. I'm not flying solo, but I'm flying with Cheryl in the studio, Cheryl Moodley. And we gave you the sounds of church celebration. Aliko Lelifana, there's no other name like the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Cheryl answers nearly in.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we are joined with more company today. Ah, the more the merrier.
Oh, absolutely. We have an awesome day planned. Perfect.
So, what? We are with Tsegovats. And Mam Nonhlanhla, tell us, Cheryl, a little bit.
Well, we went from having fabulous youth singing for us here in studio to another youth that is talented, skilled, amazing. I must say, personally, I think he's amazing. And that is Tsegovatso Tiani Sepula. And he's fondly called by most people Tiani. So I'm just going to share a little bit about him. And let's not forget, we have his beautiful mom right next to me, Miss Nonhlanhla Sepula. And she's called Nonny by myself. So, yeah, what a pleasure to have them in studio.
The radio
welcome.
Pulpit, the Radio Pulpit family will call her Nonny.
Yes, there we go. Is that okay with you, Nonny?
It's perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so I just want to share a little bit about Tiani's book. And I can call you Tiani, right?
Of course, of course.
Thank you. Well, a few months back, Tiani launched his book called Mental Decay, where he bore his heart and soul about the traumas he faced. Wow. This riveting book of his life experiences has been met with emotions that spanned from shock to sadness, but most importantly, an appreciation for the reality that was exposed and continues to be a foundation for most young people experiencing the same challenges. Now, this is just what I took away from it, because there's been plenty of reviews on that book, but we're going to share a bit about the book called Mental Decay, and especially since this is Men's Mental Health Month.
Yeah.
Right? So now Tiani has shared his book worldwide, that we know for sure, and it's been met with such admiration for him, his boldness. Now, Tiani, I just want to ask you very quickly, and we're not going to have an interview, you know, this formal thing. We're going to chat a little bit about your book. And I just want you to share with us briefly, what motivated you to write Mental Decay?
So firstly, like you said, Mental Decay is the story of my struggle with mental illness, addiction, and eventually my journey towards healing and faith. In 2014, I was diagnosed with depression and ADD, anxiety and OCD. And all of this led to me eventually trying to take my own life. And I was fortunate enough, blessed and saved by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in that, I felt it was a responsibility of mine to help other people. A lot of people who have been in my situation, a lot of people who have struggled from what I've struggled with, are either addicted to drugs or either in prison, or they've killed themselves, are no longer with us. And by some miracle, I'm here today. By some miracle, I'm sitting with you. And so I really feel that it is my duty and my responsibility to help all of the youth out there, but especially young men. I relate very much to young boys, and I know what they're going through, and I know that it is very tough to talk, and we remain silent, so it is a duty that I feel.
You mentioned some big names right there, ADD, OCD, and somebody might be like, what are they? You know, a lot of people now are talking more about depression, and a lot of people play around with these words.
Yes.
Ah, you're OCD, ADD, you're depression. And even when a person is not depressed, they would use the word depression. Can you just define a little bit?
So the simplest way.
Layman's
terms. That's it.
So I'll say that in the simplest terms possible, mental illness is a term that describes a group of illnesses and disorders that negatively impact a person's thoughts, perceptions, feelings, and behaviors. And symptoms can include constant fatigue, a lack of positive emotions, loss of enjoyment, motivation, and a general constant feeling of sadness.
Sure.
Like you say, we use these words loosely.
Yeah.
But the people who don't use it loosely are the ones who are suffering from it.
Yeah.
Because they know that it's not something to play around with. It's not something to be casual with. These disorders can destroy one's life.
How did you get to depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, attention deficit disorder?
So in the book, I explore these themes, these traumas that I'd been ignoring for a long time in my life. And these traumas are what led to me getting diagnosed with these disorders, because these disorders don't come out of nowhere. They are an attempt to do damage control. It is the brain, it is the body trying to nurse itself, trying to handle what has happened, trying to handle and deal with that trauma. So my biggest traumas were that I was molested as a young boy, and also that I grew up with an absent father. So growing up, I never faced these traumas. I ignored them. But over time, they grew. It's like anything you keep in the dark, it becomes poisonous. It grows legs. Yeah. So I kept these things in the dark, and eventually they took a toll. Eventually they manifested in these disorders.
Well, you know, Tiani, I commend you on being so brave to share your experiences and your trauma and your challenges that you've gone through. Now, how do you feel about the world knowing about all these things put in a book? And
it's about
like
him.
Said, yeah, it's about him. And it's all like eyes profile on you. Hey, Sibongile.
It's like a profile, like on Facebook. Everything.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows your business.
The whole world knows. And not just about him, but they know about the family. Yeah. Everything about the family is also there in the book. So how do you feel about that? And then I want to ask your mom.
Yeah.
How does she feel about that as well?
To be honest, in the beginning, it was a bit scary because, like you said, it's like airing your dirty laundry. So it was a bit scary. But for the most part, I feel relief because we spend so much of our time and effort in this world trying to curate a perfect picture of who we are. Trying to live up to society standards.
Everything else.
But now I can walk with freedom because you already know. You know the worst parts of myself. I don't have to take that strain. There's no weight on my shoulders. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm not trying to lie to anyone. You know who I am. And from there, you can choose whether you want to be a part of my life or not. You can choose whether you want to engage. So getting rid of that pretense, getting rid of this societal pressure, it's been amazing for me. It's freeing, it's liberating. I don't need to hide. I don't need to concoct any stories about who I am. You know who I am, and that's that. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
And I think before Mom goes in, Mom Nontlantla, what comes into my mind is just talking now and mentioning that we don't want to air our dirty laundry. It's actually not dirty laundry.
Yeah.
It's something serious that you have gone through. It's a traumatic experience that you have gone through. And how many children, how many boys, especially boys, we talk about girls years, but how many boys, we never cover boys. How many boys are finding themselves where you were at?
So I like to say that after God wiped away my tears, I was able to see that I wasn't the only one crying.
I know Mom, Cheryl asked your question.
Nani.
What was the question, by the way?
The question was how...
She's so deep in thought. It's about, you know, it's basically about everything being open in the air. It's public knowledge now. What has happened with Tiani and in the family? How do you feel?
So I've got three boys. I brought them up. I think I was the one that's very talkative in the house. And I normally say to them, I have no shame of who I am. And it's how I've brought them up. And I used to say to them, you know, who's going to say something if we don't? Because everybody is hiding. So, as he said, it's not a shame. And when people know about you, they can judge you. So I can say a thick skin. You can say whatever about me. It will never change who I am. And it doesn't define me. But I know a lot of people live in pretense, you know, and it becomes so heavy. Have you seen when you have to smile and you know that your spirit is low, you're down, it's heavy. It becomes so much of an effort. As Till said that, you know, after writing this book and also after telling me what happened to him, I think you feel like some load has, you know, been taken away. And as Swangile said, you know, we don't attend to boys. I've realized that we're quick to judge them, but we never ever ask why are they doing things that they are doing. So, you know, Tseho's book made me to even realize that, okay, I've got three boys. Their fathers are not present. Am I mad? Am I angry with them? No, I've made peace. But I don't want to raise the same boys. I want my children to be present fathers, mm-hmm. loving. So do we help these men to heal? Can we talk to them and ask, why do you do what are you doing? Mm. Can we try and cut that thing that, you know, you become, we normalize bad things as a society.
True.
Because we're scared to talk about things that society deemed to say it's taboo. And it's not. It's our reality. Mm. So we need to stop making people feel guilty of how they're living. But if a person can realize that this, I've made a wrong thing, I want to rectify it, let's help each other.
Yeah.
So as a family, it's how I think I've brought them, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to, okay, if something happens to you, let's try and sort it out in a positive way,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yeah, so men need to really talk.
They also need
men
to,
need
speak
to
out.
Be heard.
Yeah.
Let's stop saying men don't cry. What is that? They've got feelings.
True.
You know, before we came here, I had a call from someone because I was advertising that we'll be at Radio Pulpit. And it says, you know what, how do we do this? And I said, you know, just log in. And he said to me, we talk a lot about women, girls. Mm. We don't talk about men.
Yes.
And we're so scared we end up getting drunk before going home, because we numb that pain.
Mm.
At work now, it's women do this. So the whole role, it's changed. But can we also give men to be heard and ask, why are you doing what you're doing? And rectify it, you know, and stop judging without right. trying to rectify what's happening.
Yes. I have a question for Mom.
Sure.
I have a question for Mom. You are growing, you said three boys?
Three boys.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Three boys. Single mom, single mom.
She's a strong one.
Yeah. This is power right here.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? Yeah. I'm asking myself a question. With OCD, mm-hmm. Okay, obsessive compulsive disorder,
yes.
you would see a person would like to be extremely clean, extremely, there are things you need to pack them in a color, orange on orange, yellow, and then the, you know, everything. So were the signs that you picked up as a mother that, man, I'm not quite sure what's happening to Tsego, but there's something about Tsego.
I did. I'm very close to my children.
Yeah.
So when he grew up, I used to say, you moody.
Yeah.
That's something else. I used to say, you moody, you irritate me.
Yeah.
You moody. It's as if I did something. You need to stop. You know, I used to say that a lot. And he'll say, I'm bored.
Yeah,
and
I walk up to her and just say, I'm bored. Yeah.
When you're bored, what must I do? Opening
a
fridge.
I think you know. It becomes very hard for a child to say, this has happened to me.
Mm.
It's easy to say, I've got a headache, I'm bored.
But you know,
and hide.
I only kind of remembered the molestation part,
yes.
20 years later.
Wow.
It's amazing what the mind can do with trauma.
Did it get worse when you remembered?
It did. I'd repressed that memory. I'd repressed that memory, but 20 years later, after matric, when the depression started, then things started to kind of flow out of me, and this memory started to flood back, and I began to remember this, and I was like, no, man, but I was really young when this happened, and but no, man, this isn't how kids play.
No, no.
And then all those feelings came back, and then I realized, man, this is why I'm so terrified of women. This is why certain things in my life have gone this way. This is why I feel this way. So I'd kept that memory repressed for myself. And so there was no way I could express that to my mother. I was hiding it from me. How can I communicate that with someone else? Mm.
But I want to ask you, Tiani, and I know we've spoken about this before. The fact that you were sexually molested, right? Mm. You were very brave and very blatant about the names that you published in the book. I know I asked you this before, but I have to let our family know as well how brave you are, how confident you are about what happened and the reality of what you experienced. Now, the perpetrators that did that to you, what has become of that?
Nothing is the simple answer. Nothing happened to them. After I told my mother, She brought it up to the family because the perpetrators were all my cousins. I did change their names in the book because I'm not trying to persecute them.
Yes.
I'm doing this to help other people and to heal. It's not really about them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But it was brought up to the family at large, and all they had to do was say, no, we didn't do that. And
they,
that was it.
They didn't acknowledge it.
Exactly.
Oh,
they said no. And this goes on everywhere. I mean, even with sexual workplace harassment, which I then went on to go through as an adult. I was sexually groomed by a man at work. So it's crazy, the recurring themes of people who have been victimized. You tend to fall back into those holes. But a lot of these perpetrators, a lot of these predators, there's a power imbalance. There's a power imbalance. I'm a child. They're older than me. I'm an employee. You're an employer. So when someone who is in that position of power says, no, I didn't do it, then what's going to happen?
It's their word
exactly.
Against yours.
Exactly. Usually they have the backing, and there's no real recourse for you at that point.
So when mom realized that now this is what Tsegofatso is laying on the table, now he's 20-something years old, I guess?
30.
30.
Just hit 30.
Now he's garnered the courage to tell you. How did you feel? Did you go back to how he was as a child, the moodiness, and did all of that come back now? Did you feel like he was robbed as mom, and you were also robbed of your child?
Yeah, when he told me, it was I think 10 years ago with the childhood one, and that kind of a mother, I address things. So as he said, I tried to address it, and they said no, and I cut ties. I thought, you know what, I know the history of these people, how they're living,
and I know
so
my
it's
son.
Possible.
And yes. I know my son.
And except that, because we're not everywhere with our children, but when you know how the others behave, so you know, and you, I took him away. I thought, actually, I'm taking him away, being scared of what has happened. Meanwhile, it has happened behind my back, not knowing, you know, because it was always my fear that this might happen because seeing the behavior of them. And when coming to the workplace, I already had the rumor about that person because we were working together. And something in me just said, you must be careful of this person, you know. But, you know, kids are kids. And now when everything becomes the reality, when he tried to commit suicide, it's when he told me exactly what happened, I flipped. Then I approached the owner of the company, and I said, we are going to talk about this. We are going, because I'm now going to open a case and all that. So they had to make that person to resign. As so said, you know what? Always people are protected.
Yes.
The person resigned. They showed me the resignation letter. They showed me there's going to be a disciplinary hearing and all that. And
that was the end of the story?
When we left.
He came back.
The person, they took him back. You know? And, you know, we went to consult an attorney. And the attorney says, you know what, you must be ready. People with money, normally, they get lawyers that will really budge you. So, you know, things like this, it's very difficult to approach. But I know that I am still going to pursue it. It's difficult to approach. And it makes it difficult also for the victims to talk. Because they feel helpless that I'm not going to win.
Sure. Wow. I'm also interested in your healing journey. I know it's in the book.
Yes.
And mom, thank you so much for being his support throughout. You know, it's very hard with some of us. You talk, okay, I'm not saying names, but with some people, they would tell their parents and their parents would say, hi, are you sure? They wouldn't even believe the child. And yet there are parents who go and you know, go a mile with their children on that. Before you tell us about the healing journey, when you're reporting this, you're a guy. How does it work for you? I mean, with a woman, it's easy. You say, and we believe you because you're a woman. It's easy. There are doors opened. There's cancer. For you as a man, how is it received in South Africa, workplaces, or wherever that you reported as well?
So I think the reason why I ended up trying to kill myself was because of that fact. I knew I was a man, and I felt very cornered at that point. I saw no way out. Who am I going to tell? And not only that people might not believe me, but it's also, it felt like a loss of manhood. It felt like a loss of masculinity, admitting this, saying this. It felt like it was making me weak. So all of these things are bouncing around in your head constantly. And you feel more alone. You feel that really there is no way out. And after having written this book and having given a few talks, I see that especially with black men, the reception is disappointing. You can see that black men don't want to face these certain issues. Mm. And I know that a lot of them have gone through similar issues, but it's so scary to look at that. It's so scary to see me up there as a mirror saying, this is what I've struggled with, knowing that you've struggled with it as well. There is this feeling that, man, I'm not even going to look at this at all. I'm a man. Let's keep moving. And as a man, there's a lot of distractions. You know, we distract ourselves by accumulating women, by accumulating money. And when you have those two things, you feel like I've done it. I'm a man. But the reception has been disappointing from men, I will say. People who have really opened up to this book, to the experiences that I'm talking about, are parents and are elder females. And I think it's quite a journey that we have to go on as men to come to a place where we feel comfortable to express ourselves, where we feel comfortable to be this transparent. And if that doesn't happen, I think it is going to be a sad society that we're living in. Right now, we're looking at things and we're trying to treat the symptoms, not the cause. We see men doing certain things, but it's like taking a Panado for a headache. The headache might go, but you need to know what caused that headache.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to go to the core, which is these traumas that we're going through, which is these mental illnesses that we're going through. People don't just kill themselves.
Yes.
Men don't just beat women up. Men don't just kill women. There is a core, and we need to get to that core.
Mm. Tiani, I just want to ask you, you mentioned about OCD, mm-hmm. but you mentioned depression.
Yeah.
And this is something that is so rife among our young people.
Mm.
Well, not just young, everybody.
Everyone.
And most people die from depression because it's a silent killer.
Exactly.
Most people don't know what to look for. So from the perspective of a parent, what should a parent look for in her child when it comes to depression? What are the signs?
That one is always a bit of a tricky one, because people with depression get so very skilled at hiding it.
Mm.
And what I like to say to that, especially to parents, is that spend time with your children. Spend mm-hmm. time with your children, because every little difference, even if someone is trying to hide it, you will be able to see. And I believe that parents have a certain intuition when it comes to their children.
Yes.
Listen to that gut feeling. My mother could always tell if I was off, even if I tried to lie to her and say, no, everything is fine. She could tell. So observe your children, get to know them, spend time with them. And when you see that something is amiss, if they're spending a lot of time sleeping, if there's changes in their appetite, perhaps these are more direct things that you can look for. If there's changes in their moods, they used to spend a lot of time with their friends, but suddenly they don't go out as much, they don't socialize as much. They used to enjoy sports, but now they don't do that anymore. So try to see the patterns that they have lived by, and if there are changes in that, then explore that. There may be something more to it.
No, definitely. Well, a mom has been a tower of strength to Tiani, Mom Nani. And she is really, when they came in here, I just thought to myself, this is power in the house, like I said before, because of what they've experienced together. How has the support been from your siblings? I know you have two brothers.
My two younger brothers. Oh man, it's been amazing. This is a perfect segue into the healing journey, actually, mm-hmm. because one of the greatest components that led to my healing is the people around me.
Yes.
Mainly my family, but also I have amazing friends. But my mother and my two younger brothers are the world to me. I don't have children, but I can imagine what it's going to be like. When they say that parents have this undying love for their kids, I feel that for my brothers.
Oh, lovely.
There's a bit of a gap between us, so I'm a bit older than them. And honestly, when I'm with them, everything is completely fine. I have no worry in the world. I feel strong. I feel powerful. I feel supported. I feel I can be vulnerable. They're the best people yeah, they're the best gift. I always tell my mother, that's the best gift you've ever given me, is these two guys.
Don't you also, Mom, Santa, and Tsego, don't you also get some paranoia? Because, okay, I'm not putting it the right way.
No.
But
I know what you want to say.
Saying,
I also think so.
Because I know parents would go back home and they have this little one. They would turn them upside down and check if everything is okay and ask questions. And don't you feel like that with the little ones now? Let me start with Mom, coming to you, Tsego.
I don't. Because of the openness that I've created with the boys. My youngest one is 17 and very talkative. He will tell me straight. He will tell me. So after, you know, being 17, I think Tsego published the book. He was still 16.
Okay.
2 months time, turned 17 in June. And I was scared also that they're going to find out things that, even though they knew, but some of the things I didn't even know, you know, in the book. So I had a podcast with them and with the young one. And I asked him, how did you feel after reading, knowing, like, he said, it made him love him more.
Wow.
So we're very open and supportive.
That's awesome.
And that was the conscious decision because I'm a single mother. Their dads ran away. That's another thing we need to address. Absent fathers. The hole that also it left in Tsego, you know, the absent father, you know. So it made us to be very close. We're very close. So I'm not paranoid. I know that if something happens, I'm the first person.
The first
they'll tell us.
That will know.
Yeah, we'll have a meeting. They'll tell me, so-and-so did this.
Tsego, with your brothers.
I used to be scared when I was a bit younger because I saw what these issues had done to me, but I also saw how they affected my mother. And so I'd tell my best friend, man, I get so worried sometimes. I don't want my mother to have to go through this again. I hope my brothers don't have the same experiences. But I've seen now that as we've grown as a family and as individuals, like my mother's saying, there's such a culture of openness and transparency. There's nothing we hide from one another. And honestly, when something happens in our life, our first instinct is to run to the family and say, this is happening, positive and negative. So I think this openness that my mother has fostered within our family makes it so if you're going through trouble, you're going to feel the need to tell one of us three. And it may, if you're not comfortable saying it to mother, perhaps, maybe you can say it to one of the brothers or the other brother. But we cover all the bases amongst the four of us. Yeah.
Sure, there are some messages that came through. I think we need to still 5 minutes again just after the news because he has to tell us about his healing journey, how he got there a little bit.
Yeah,
I know that people will get it in the book. Mm-hmm. A quick one from Mandla. A huge thank you to Sis Nonhli and Diani. You're building a wonderful platform that allows men to talk. As men, we are faced with a lot of issues that include failure to fulfill our responsibilities and things we are going through. The man has been described as a rock that must bottle it up and keep going. Unfortunately, like Diani says, we are drowning in darkness and feel cornered. We can't cough out and it's really killing us. And this is Mandla. Thank you so much, Mandla, for that. And yes, they are opening that platform. Shalom Jay, hi, saying blessings, Swangilin family. I am of the opinion that all medical illnesses stem from emotional trauma. It is the fruit of sin, whether by self or perpetrator, manifesting in the body. This normally occurs because of spiritual open doors that give the enemy the right to traumatize us. But we thank God for Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, so before we go any further, Sibongile, we have a book that we're going to give away. Well,
yes,
it's Tiani that's giving the book away. So I just want to read it quickly, just the cover here. And it's written by Tsego Fata, Tiani Tsepula. Mental decay, living with anxiety, ADD, OCD, all the acronyms that have been explained, and that devil called depression. Now, we want to give this book away. So we have a WhatsApp number, 082-657-2729. please send us your WhatsApps. We will make a decision as to who this book will be given away. Our producer will let you know, but we want to give this away to someone that can actually benefit, and it is so impactful. Our young people need to read this. Our elderly need to read this. Everyone needs to read this. So, yeah, we're giving this book away. And Tiani, thank you so much for that. We're not going away just yet. We're going to go to the news just now. But we just want to say WhatsApp number 082-657-2729 or our landline 012-334-1322. You can call and give us your message, or you can SMS us on 37871, and an SMS costs you just R1.50. So don't hesitate. Make that call.
It's more than radio. It's a way of life. It's 657 AM.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.